chapter 12, text 5. Tesho dhikataras tesham.
Tesho dhikataras tesham.
Avyakta sapta chetasam.
Avyakta sapta chetasam.
Avyakta hidatir dukkham.
Avyakta hidatir dukkham.
Deha vadbhir avapyate.
Deha vadbhir avapyate.
Klesho dhikataras tesham.
Klesho dhikataras tesham.
Avyakta sakta chetasam.
Avyakta sakta chetasam.
Avyakta hi gatir dukkham.
Avyakta hi gatir dukkham.
Deha vadbhir avapyate.
Deha vadbhir avapyate.
Klesho dhikataras tesham.
Avyakta
sakta chetasam.
Avyakta
hi gatir dukkham.
Deha
vadbhir avapyate.
Klesho
dhikataras tesham.
Avyakta
sakta chetasam.
Avyakta
hi gatir dukkham.
Deha vadbhir avapyate.
Kleshodhikataras tesham.
Avyakta sakta chetasam.
Avyakta hi gatir dukkham.
Devadvir avapyate.
Kleshodhikataras tesham.
Avyakta sakta chetasam.
Avyakta hi gatir dukkham.
Deha vadbhir avapyate.
Klesho dhikaras tesham. Avyakta sakta chetasam.
Avyakta hi gatir dukkham.
Deha vadbhir avapyate.
Kleshaha.
Trouble.
Adhikataraha.
Very much.
Tesham.
Of them.
Avyakta.
To the unmanifest.
Asakta.
Attached.
Chetasam.
Of those whose minds.
Avyakta.
Toward the unmanifested.
He certainly.
Gatihi.
Progress.
Dukkham.
With trouble.
Deha vadbhi.
By the embodied.
Avapyate.
Is achieved.
For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome.
To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. Purport. The group of transcendentalists who follow the path of the inconceivable, unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord are called Jnana Yogis, and persons who are in full Krishna consciousness, engaged in devotional service to the Lord, are called Bhakti Yogis. Now, here the difference between Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga is definitely expressed. The process of Jnana Yoga, although ultimately bringing one to the same goal, is very troublesome, whereas the path of Bhakti Yoga, the process of being in direct service to the Supreme Lord, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
is easier and is natural for the embodied soul. The individual soul is embodied since time immemorial. It is very difficult for him to simply theoretically understand that he is not the body. Therefore, the bhakti yogi accepts the deity of Krishna as worshipable, because there is some bodily conception fixed in the mind, which can thus be applied. Of course, worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form within the temple is not idol worship. There is evidence in the Vedic literature that worship may be saguna or nirguna, of the Supreme possessing or not possessing attributes. Worship of the deity in the temple is saguna worship, for the Lord is represented by material qualities. But the form of the Lord, though represented by material qualities, such as stone, wood, or oil paint, is not actually material. That is the absolute nature of the Supreme Lord. A crude example may be given here. We may find some mailboxes on the street, and if we post our letters in those boxes, they will naturally go to their destination without difficulty. But any old box or an invitation which we may find somewhere, but which is not authorized by the post office, will not do the work. Similarly, God has an authorized representation in the deity form, which is called Archa Vigraha. This Archa Vigraha is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. God will accept service through that form. The Lord is omnipotent, all-powerful. Therefore, by his incarnation as Archa Vigraha, he can accept the services of the devotee, just to make it convenient for the man's unconditioned life.
Chakshurmilitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padavaiyam Tathati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gura Shri Tathapada Kamadam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Shadrajatam Shahagana Gaganatan Yutam Stam Sarivam Shadvaitam Shabhadrutam Parijana Sahitam Prashyatetan Nadevam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsta Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Paramahi Mani Priye Vansha Gopitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayevacha Padita Nam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Guru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Out. Hey, you guys, get out.
I'm going to let Mother sit. So you have to settle it quickly. I will
settle up the matter,
yeah,
if you will. Why keep that girl here if she doesn't want to stay? She's not listening to it. She didn't come for a lecture.
She wants to listen
Maharaj,
but the child is making noise.
She wants to listen.
Yes.
She wants to listen, or her mother wants her to listen?
Mother wants
her to listen.
Even the child was keeping quiet, alone.
Alone, she'll be okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll give her a chance.
Okay.
One. Should we move this closer? Does that make life a little better? Try separating them and seeing how that works. Klesho tikataras te sham of yakta sapta chetasam of yakta higatir dukkam deha vadbir abhapite. Okay, goodbye. That was your one chance.
Mother, you can take him to the room, please.
Yeah. Someplace there's a room with a door.
Yeah.
That's the right place.
Yeah.
Keep the door open.
Keep the door open.
Whose side are you on?
Saying the door closed.
That's okay. Klesho, it's a little loud, I think. Now that I've fixed it, it's a little too loud, isn't it? And if there's any echo on it, you can turn it off.
Prabhu, I think the bass needs to come down. Can you increase the treble?
Hare Krishna. The volume needs to come down. I was right the first time.
Volume has to come down.
And if there's anything marked echo, which there is, turn it off. Echo is the last thing you do. Hare Krishna. Yeah, that's echo.
Yeah.
Echo, zero. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's better. But now it's too low. So the volume can come up a little bit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Is that okay, or does it need to be slightly louder?
Slightly louder.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's probably about
right.
Okay. Good. Yeah, that sounds like a normal voice, more or less. A little louder normal voice. Klesho tikataras te sham of yakta sapta chetasam. Of yakta higatir dukkam deha vadbir vadyate. In the beginning of this chapter, Arjuna has asked the most relevant question. Which is better, the personalist or the impersonalist? The person who's always either the volume has to come down more, or the speaker needs to be turned a little bit further away, or both. Okay, let's... Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It should be all right. Let's give it another try. But which is better, the person who's always engaged in your devotional service, or the person who's thinking about the unmanifested, impersonal, formless, all-pervading Brahma? Which is better? Yeah, that's actually the answer that Krishna gives. He immediately answers that the best path is the path of devotional service. Although the person who's focusing on the impersonal absolute also can gradually attain perfection. They can also achieve Krishna. Yeah? There's a place where we send people like you. Sure. So the personalist, this is the battle line in all of Prabhupada's writings. This conflict, this tension between the impersonal path and the personal path. Before Srila Prabhupada came to the West, practically speaking, all that people knew of Indian philosophy was the impersonal path. They didn't even know that there was anything personal. And they assumed that this was the real target. It was only after Srila Prabhupada came and introduced Krishna consciousness that there was even a contending view. It was just assumed that Indian philosophy means impersonal. The target is the impersonal. And they didn't know. They knew something about Shankaracharya, but they hardly knew about the philosophical teachings of Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Gopshamis. These things were unknown to them. And Srila Prabhupada not only introduced Krishna consciousness as a contender in the for the contending philosophy, but as superior philosophy on the basis of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, as the superior conclusion. And it was resisted even. The professors were saying, no, because they were used to what they were teaching. But increasingly they have to accept that Bhagavad Gita is teaching personal philosophy or the conclusion of devotional service to the personality of God. The question is especially just pointedly asked by Arjuna, which is better, the personal path or the impersonal path? And Krishna clearly says the personal. Now he says, klesho antikataraste-sham avyakta sakta chetasam. For those whose minds are attached to avyakta, the impersonal feature of the Supreme, klesha adhikataraste-sham. For them, there's trouble and more trouble. So much trouble for them. Because it becomes simply theoretical. To fix the mind on something impersonal is practically impossible. Maybe it's possible for a few very highly accomplished yogis to fix their mind in some way on something which is formless, which has no qualities, no name, no... Theoretically, it might be possible for them to fix their mind on such a thing. But it's exceedingly difficult. If I ask you to think of nothing, you can't do that. Even for a moment, we say, drive out from your mind all forms, all qualities, all names. You'll just start thinking of all the forms, names, and qualities that you have to drive out. But actually fixing the mind on something which has none of these is exceedingly troublesome.
And then if you do somehow, then what do? If I, all right, I'm not this body, I'm spirit. But now what is my engagement as spirit? And how can I justify any engagement if there's everything is ultimately one, there's no difference between anything and anything else? Why should I eat? Why should I breathe? Why should I live? What should I do? So it's, therefore, theoretically I'm not this body, but practically I act as if I'm this body. Theoretically I say everything is one, but practically I don't act as if everything is one. Because who can act that way? Who can think that way? Who can act that way? Practically not possible. I had one cousin actually who was studying Buddhism, and we were having some correspondence, and he said, actually, very different. The hard part is to reach the point of no thought. I said, yeah, it's real hard to reach the point of no thought. You can't even think of reaching the point of no thought. But they're trying to reach the point of no thought, or the point where their thought becomes one with all thought, something impractical, impersonal. So here, Srila Prabhupada offers that worship of the Lord or meditation on the Supreme may be either saguna or nirguna. Nirguna means without qualities, and saguna means having qualities. And he says it's more practical to worship the Supreme as having qualities. Then you can fix your mind. To fix the mind on the sky is very difficult, Prabhupada gave the example. But to fix your mind on a child is very easy. The child is very small, the sky is very great, but the sky is just one big expanse, not much to fix the mind on. And with a child, there are so many things. So the personality of Godhead with his transcendental form is the right subject matter for the attention of the living being. And specifically, the form of the deity. Krishna, of course, he's spirit, and we say that the deity is made of matter, made of earth, made of wood, made of paint, made of metal. But these are all energies of Krishna. Bhumirako nalo vayu kammano buddhire vacha. Ahankara tiyame dinna prakritirashkita. Krishna says these are all my energies. And shakti shakti mateor deva. There's no difference between the energy and the person who owns the energy. There's no difference between the sun and the sunshine. They're one, they're inseparable. So there's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's energies. Therefore, there's no difference between Krishna and wood, Krishna and paint, Krishna and metal. Actually, Krishna can act from anywhere. He can appear from the stone pillar of Hiranyakashipu's palace. He's already there, Andantarasta Paramamachayantarasta. But when he wishes, he manifests himself. Otherwise, he's everywhere. So, he's everywhere, but Alaksha Sarvabhutana. He's invisible. He's not seen. Alaksha Sarvabhutana Amantara Bahir Vastuta. Although he's everywhere, he's not seen. But when the Lord, when we have the form of the deity, then the Lord appears before our vision. Not simply carving any which way, but when the authorized form is there, according to Shastra, then you can see. Then Krishna becomes visible. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Bhattagami Bhutanaya. Krishna becomes visible to our ordinary eyes because all we can see is wood, paint, metal. So Krishna agrees to appear in these elements so that we can see. And the more our vision becomes purified, the more we'll actually be able to see that the deity is not simply a form representing Krishna, but the deity is actually Krishna. Krishna is there. Krishna can hear our prayers. Krishna can accept our offerings. Krishna can accept our service. And Krishna can reciprocate. Why not? Krishna is not limited. Krishna is not restricted. So he can appear in this way. And why? Out of his mercy on the conditioned souls. Because otherwise, what happens? We're attracted to form. We're attracted to qualities. We're attracted to beauty. We're attracted to so many things. And if we're not attracted to Krishna's form, we'll be attracted to Maya's form. If we're not attracted to Krishna's beauty, we'll be attracted to Maya's beauty. We may see it theoretically say, oh, the absolute is beyond all the illusory forms of this world. But form is attractive. And the impersonal Brahma is theoretical. Forms of the material world are right there. And the impersonal absolute is somewhere in the land of conception, in the mind. The result will be that we'll be attracted to the material forms. And therefore we'll continue in conditioned life. Therefore, Prabhupada mentions that the mission of Shankaracharya in appearing in Kali Yuga is to increase unwanted population. Kali Yuga, when there's increase of Shankaro Narakai Aiva, when there's an increase of unwanted population, then the world becomes more hellish. And that's what Kali Yuga is supposed to be. So when there's no personal form to be attracted to, you'll be attracted to material forms. It finally comes down to sex and unwanted population. And the continuation of material entanglement, material life. So one is advised to become attracted to the transcendental form of Krishna. The description is there in Vedic literature. Venam kanmantam aravinda dhavaya taksham parahavatam samasitam buddhasam dhavaya kandarpa koti kamaniya tishesha shodham Govindamadi Purusham Tamam. Even the description of the impersonal absolute is unappealing. It's just not this, not that, not this, not that. But the description of Krishna is transcendentally attractive. He's playing on his flute. His eyes are like the petals of the lotus flower. He's always worshipped by the Lakshmis, the goddesses of fortune. He's so attractive that he attracts Cupid, his beauty of Cupid by multiplied a millionfold can't equal the beauty of Krishna. So even the verbal descriptions of Krishna will be relishable in contrast to the monotonous description of not this, not that, not this, not that, which only anyway gets us thinking of this and that and of the other things that he's not. So by hearing we become attracted, and by seeing also. People say, can you see God?
So God can be seen by this method provided by God. The deity can be installed in the home or the temple, and one can see God before one's eyes. And one's vision of God becomes increasingly realized by devotional service. Bhaktya mama vijanati premanjana chturita bhakti vilochani santa sadaya vidyeshu vilochani. The Lord becomes visible when the eyes are anointed with the ointment of love for Him. So Krishna, and how is that love achieved? By service. So we have the opportunity to serve the deity, to cook for the deity, to dress the deity, to gather flowers for the deity, to chant before the deity, in different ways to serve the deity. And that reestablishes us in our constitutional position. Jivar Shorupoi Krishner Nitya Das. Every one of us is actually a servant of Krishna. And we've forgotten that fact. And therefore we're being slapped around by mind. So by serving the deity, we reestablish ourselves in our constitutional position, not only theoretically, but practically. Not only in theory, but in fact. Simply, the worship should be worship of the authorized form of the Lord, and it should be performed in the standard way. So for a devotee, there's no difficulty in approaching the Supreme immediately and directly. But for those who are following the impersonal way to spiritual realization, the path is difficult. They have to understand the unmanifested representation of the Supreme through such Vedic literatures as the Upanishads, and they have to learn the language, understand the non-perceptual feelings, and realize all these processes. This is not very easy for a common man. A person in Krishna consciousness engaged in devotional service simply by the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, simply by offering regulative obeisances unto the deity, simply by hearing the glories of the Lord, and simply by eating the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the Lord, realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very easily. There's no doubt that the impersonalists are unnecessarily taking a troublesome path that will, with the risk of not realizing the absolute truth at the ultimate end. But the personalist, without any risk, trouble, or difficulty, approaches the Supreme Personality directly. A similar passage appears in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is stated there that if one ultimately has to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the surrendering process is called bhakti, but instead takes the trouble to understand what is Brahma and what is not Brahma, and spends his whole life in that way, the result is simply troublesome. Therefore, it is advised here that one should not take up this troublesome path of self-realization, because there's uncertainty in the ultimate result. In the Bhagavatam, this impersonal path has been described as being something like husking a rice paddy that's from which the rice has already been extracted. All you get for your trouble is the trouble. There's no other result. Oh, one has to go through so much trouble for impersonal realization. At the end, it's very likely you're not going to achieve it anyway. So why go through so much trouble for an uncertain result? In business, you don't do that. You don't take the more troublesome path for a less likely result. You take the path that's easy and practical and gets you a good result within a reasonable amount of time. So why, on the spiritual side, go through so much trouble for some uncertain conclusion? That's the argument given here. Not only is it uncertain, it's also unconstitutional. That's another issue. A living entity is eternally an individual soul. And if he wants to merge into the spiritual whole, he may accomplish the realization of the eternal and knowledgeable aspects of his original nature. But the blissful portion is not realized. By the grace of some devotee, such a transcendentalist, highly learned in the process of Jnana Yoga, may come to the point of Bhakti Yoga, or devotional service. At that time, long practice in impersonalism also becomes a source of trouble, because he cannot give up the idea. Therefore, an embodied soul is always in difficulty with the unmanifest, both at the time of practice and at the time of realization. We find this practically. Someone comes in touch with devotees, he becomes attracted, he sees the devotees are chanting and dancing, and they're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they're obviously advancing, they're becoming detached from material attraction, material entanglement, so he becomes attracted. But if he's addicted to the impersonal path, he finds it difficult, it becomes an obstacle for him. He can't give up the idea that, no, there's form here, form is form is material. He has cow in the barn philosophy. You know what cow in the barn philosophy is? Once there was a fire in the barn, and now whenever the cow sees red, she thinks it's fire. So they have their bad experience of form, and now when they're told that Krishna has form, they think, even though they're told, no, it's not like this form, still they think, no, it's like this form. They can't get it out of their head that form is material. They can't pick up the idea of spiritual form, because they're so addicted to, you know, kind of a person, like a person who's always, you know, your old grandfather who can't give up the old way of doing things. Been doing it so long, he'll always do it that way. So there's something like that. They can't give up that they've cultivated that impersonal idea. They've worked so hard at it, and now to give it all up is very difficult. It's only possible by the mercy of a devotee, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Prakashananda Saraswati, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the personality of God himself. They were able to give it up. It's difficult. If one is serious, he undergoes tapasya, he undergoes great effort. So having gone through all that effort, now to be told that to give it all up, it was totally wrong. He finds that very difficult. So he tries to apply the impersonal idea, even while he's worshipping the Supreme in personal form. He keeps the idea that personal form is just a symbol for the impersonal something or other. So he's outwardly practicing following the personal path, but inwardly he's still addicted to the impersonal idea. So that's an obstacle on the spiritual path. It can be overcome, but with difficulty. So, therefore, in the beginning it's a lot of trouble, and then at the end, if you really get good at it, it's more trouble. Every living soul is partially independent. And one should know for certain that this unmanifested realization is against the nature of his spiritual, blissful self. The to be an impersonal something or other is not our real position. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur calls it holding our individuality in abeyance. Holding it in abeyance. It's natural. Something like keeping a child in check. You know, you can keep him in check for a little while, but you know, tell him not to cry. He has to cry, he has to play, he has to, because it's his nature. It's like telling a bird not to fly or not to chirp. They must. So it's the nature of a living being to have to be an individual, to express individuality. Therefore, even after undergoing so much trouble, the impersonalists fall down from the impersonal absolute, even if they attain it. What is that? Aruya Krishna Param Padam Tata Patanjiho Nagrita Yushmarangaya Ye Ye Nirvindaksha Vinuktamayana Strayastra Bhava Avishuddha Bhutta. For every individual living entity, the process of Krishna consciousness. So one should not take up this process. For every individual living entity, the process of Krishna consciousness, which entails full engagement in devotional service, is the best way. If one wants to ignore this devotional service, there's the danger of turning to atheism. Thus, the process of centering attention on the unmanifested, the inconceivable, which is beyond the approach of the senses, as already expressed in this verse, should never be encouraged at any time, especially in this age. It is not advised by Lord Krishna. Are there any questions?
Is there any difference between a Mayavadi and an impersonalist?
No. Impersonalists are Mayavadis, Mayavadis are impersonalists. Same.
The necessity of deity worship. Those who do not have deities, they are on deities. Those who don't have the fortune to have their own deities, how they can engage in more devotional service?
If you don't have your own deity, how can you engage in devotional service? You can worship the deity in the temple, or you can chant the holy name of the Lord. The Lord is also present in His holy name. So you can worship the Lord in that way. And you can keep a picture of Krishna. Before that picture, you can offer your food, you can offer your, you can chant the holy name. Is that all right? Yes?
In the last line which you read from the Prabhupada, there is a comment which Prabhupada specifically makes that this path is very difficult, especially for people in this age. And in the shloka and also in the Prabhupada, there is some acceptance to impersonal path. He says that it is difficult. It is not...
Not impossible.
Yeah.
There have been sages who've attained, you know, Krishna says, yes, it's possible.
So when generally when we encounter impersonalists, they say that the form is there as a vehicle to fix the mind. And ultimately, once the mind is fixed, it goes to, the higher form is to go to impersonal. That's how they generally argue.
They say it.
Yeah.
But A, they're not going to do it. They'll just theoretically say, the higher thing is this, that, but they can't really do much with it. That's why they're engaged in the, you know, they'll say this is the lower thing, but I'm just going to the higher thing. But they can't do anything about the higher thing. You know, they're talking about it, but even for, I mean, to get serious, that's what you have to do to attain the impersonal supreme. First thing, just ordinary thing, no sex. You can't have sex and
because everything is one. So there's no difference between man and woman. And there's no pleasure in the material world. You can't be pursuing this. Having sex means pursuing the pleasure of the material world. You can't do that and realize the intangible, infinitely subtle, impersonal feature of the Lord. So that's the first thing. That means 99.999%, they're just talking. They're not really going to take up the process. It's described in the sixth chapter. If you really want to do this, then Shucho Deshe Pratishtapya Sthiramasana Matmanaha Natyutritam Nati Nicham Chayalajana Kushoturam. You have to sit in a certain place. You have to go to a sacred place. You can't just stay in Dubai and talk about the impersonal higher feature. You have to go to the Himalayas and you have to do some serious tapasya. Brahmachari Vrtayastataha. You have to become Brahmachari. Huh? So they're talkers. You know, they're talkers, that's all. They're not really going to do it. They're just going to offer an argument. So what's the use? They're just fooling themselves. That's the first thing. Second thing is, Krishna says, Brahmanohi Pratishtaha in the Bhagavad Gita. The impersonal Brahma is resting on me. Matta parataram nanya kinchid asti. There's nothing higher than me. Aham sarvasya prabhu. I'm the source of everything. Matta sarvam prabhu. Everything comes from me. The many places we find that the impersonal feature is not inferior to the inferior. It's rather an offensive theory because according to their idea, anything that has qualities, form, name is material. So really they're saying that the personality of Godhead has a material form. He's, in other words, he's, as they put it, the sum total of all ignorance. That's an insult. Their philosophy is seriously in trouble on so many points, and that should be brought to their attention. Prabhupada's given so many arguments against the impersonalist idea, and especially if everything is one. This is always the biggest hole in the Mayavadi theory. If everything is one, where does illusion come from? That's the number one hole. Everything is supposed to be one. We just don't realize that everything's one because of Maya. Well, where did Maya come from if everything is one? That they can't. They have no answer. No reasonable answer. Therefore, the philosophy falls apart. Vaishnava philosophy, where does Maya come from? It comes from Krishna. Krishna has Parasya Shakti Vrindaya Shudite. He has so many different energies. Material energy is one of them. It's not a problem for us, but it's a super problem for them. So these things should be brought to their attention. Is that okay? It's exactly, they're an illustration of what Prabhupada says. They come to devotional service, they worship the deity, they offer prayers, hey Bhagavan, this, that, but they're stuck on this idea that everything is impersonal. And as many times as you try to bring it to their, get it through their heads, they're like, you know, the rubber band, you stretch it, and then boing, goes back to where it started from. So we find that so many times. If my bodies are so thick, even that Gopinatha Acharya, the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he found it so difficult because his brother-in-law was so stuck on this Mayavadi philosophy. It was only by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was delivered. And by the desire of Gopinatha Acharya. Because desire, Gopinatha Acharya was desiring that this fool should be liberated from his impersonal conceptions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did the needful. Something else?
You said that
Buddha, his Lord Buddha comes to stop the animal killing. That's stated by Jayadeva Goswami. Out of compassion on the poor animals who were being killed like anything, and out of compassion for the animal killers who were killing their own spiritual progress by killing animals, Lord Buddha appeared. The Vritta Tire Shaya Rupa Giyamana Bhavosada Shotima Lohirana Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanavada Guman Virajyeta Gunapashu. Practically anyone can be attracted to Krishna Katha except for the animal killers. So Lord Buddha, because people were killing animals on the pretext of following the Vedic rituals, Lord Buddha just said, all right, I reject these Vedic rituals. Now follow my Four Noble Truths, my Eightfold Path of Righteousness, and which starts with ahimsa, giving up needless violence. So that was his propaganda, his mission. Okay. Something else?
You mentioned about Shankaracharya's mission as, you were giving a relation between how unwanted clergy and impersonalism.
You didn't get it.
I didn't get it.
It's pretty simple. If you preach Krishna consciousness, people will be attracted to the transcendental form of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna. They'll have practical engagement in the service of Krishna. They'll experience transcendental pleasure by serving the Lord, by hearing about the Lord, by seeing the form of the Lord, by serving the Lord. If you say that everything is impersonal, then they'll have know this, know that. So what can they fix their mind on? Actually, they have nothing that they can fix their mind on. It's just theoretical. There's this higher something or other. We can't talk about it. We can't imagine it. We can't, as soon as we try to touch it, it goes away. It's not this, it's not that, it's not this, not that. So actually their minds can't fix on that. Klesho dikataras tesham. It's just troublesome. And so then they have to do something. They have to be attracted somewhere. So where are they going to be attracted? They're going to be attracted to sex. Krishna is more attractive than millions of cupids. But the impersonal Brahmajyoti, they can't even think of what to speak of be attracted to. So what's left to think of? Well, the original subject matter for Cupid. If they're not going to think of Krishna, who can attract even Cupid, then they'll just think about what Cupid attracts them to. So then illicit sex means unwanted copulation. Yeah. Does that make it clear? Something else? Everyone can be purified by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Personalists, impersonalists, everyone can be purified. The impersonalists can be personalists, can become personalists. The personalists can advance in love for Krishna by chanting the holy name of the Lord.
His Holiness Jaya Goswami Maharaj ki
Jaya,
Srila Prabhupada ki Jaya, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki Jaya, Gaur Prabhupada ki Jaya.